I think in the beginning, Jan was talking to Phil and Maeve about how to help parents or family who may not have any interest at all in the Dharma. So maybe Phil and Maeve can get a little summary of what they heard, and then Jan may add a little more.
Ajahn, I asked Ajahn how to talk to my father, who's 95 now, about Dhamma, and she said the important thing is to talk about what he likes and what people like, because I think that's what's real for people. And she also mentioned, temporary, because I think everybody can appreciate that the things we like never last, and there we can reflect on causes. She mentioned also causes. Things have causes that people, that anybody can reflect on. I mentioned to her that many times people, when they hear about Dhamma, they want to ask big, difficult questions about karma and rebirth, and in my experience, that's always the first thing that comes up, and sometimes people can never get by that. And Ajahn said, well, ask them, do you understand karma? And I can say, and I usually say when people talk about karma, I say, I don't understand karma. Karma is very complex, and bring it back to what people can understand, what's real now, seeing and visible object, hearing and sound. Did you add anything about?
I think I missed.
Yeah, I think Maeve missed that part. That was mostly Ajahn and I talking about that. So immediately, I think it's actually my wife who is a person I want to help to understand Dhamma most. I do have chances to talk to my father in the summer, so, and I have chances to write letters to my father, so that will be helpful. I told Ajahn that my father likes birds. He loves bird watching. So we can talk about birds and visible objects.
And I think that not just to your father, anyone.
So why talking about...
anything.
I mean, why talking anytime about what they like?
Anything, just... like conversation about anything, the climate and the flowers and the gardens and the food or everything.
You mean just simple
anytime
thing around?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So do not try to pick some special subject or things like that.
I see.
And on that topic, Azita was mentioning at breakfast that a lot of the time we just talk kind of about nonsense about kings and queens or flowers or everyday things, but I think it depends on the purpose, like whether one's because one knows it's what the other person would like to talk about or what the purpose is. So if one thinks one shouldn't talk about flowers or trees because it's not about Dharma, this is not right. That was why I hesitated. One can't just say that every time you talk about flowers and trees and the weather that it's idle chatter, because it just depends on the citta.
What about a person who's so very interested in flowers and plant, and you go to that place and she talks and talks about flowers and plant, so what? See, it's not time to try to help anyone when it's not proper.
And you did.
But we cannot be stop being friendly at all.
And you did say that sometimes people just aren't interested.
I'm not interested in trying to talk about Dhamma anywhere or anytime or any person. I just think that if anyone is interested in understanding about something that we might not call Dhamma, but it's Dhamma, so we can talk about the subject. like politics, see? What is it? Wholesome and wholesome reality, see? We can talk about that, right? Even most people call it politics, but actually it's reality, wholesome or unwholesome, right or wrong. If that person is not interested in politics, about cooking, see, we still can talk about that in the way it is. Like nothing can be under control. No matter we try to cook so very good, but it turns up not so good. See?
And anyways, our own interest and our own understanding is completely anatta, and it's not like we always have this understanding that we can take around and share with people.
Because you see, no matter one understands a lot about reality, but what about one's accumulation? Can one not be angry? Even one knows that angry is just a reality when there are conditions to be angry. Anger arises by conditions, no matter one knows. So it depends on level of understanding. At that moment, if you think, shall I not be angry, right or wrong, see? Or understanding it because it's gone. No matter what level of anger it is. To understand is the best thing.
Maybe following on that, one thing I talked about with Ajahn during lunch was I think it's my favorite story from all the talks I've heard, traveling in India. And one of our friends from those days asked Ajahn, how can you be so patient with the beggars and the people who are pushing you and shouting at you? And she said, just understand. And he said, but you're my teacher. When people do that to you, I get upset. Just understand. But how can you do that? Just understand. Just understand. It's five doors, sense objects through five doors, just like now. But then she said, be friendly. And I said, Ajahn, if you tell people to be friendly, how can you tell people to be friendly? Just understand. Again, I mean, being friendly is understanding also. And I said, well, there can be being friendly with attachment, with lopa. And she said, well, when it's lopa, it's not understanding.
Yoga.
Ajahn, I just remembered something from many years ago when you visited Australia and you came to visit with me and we were going for a little walk together. And I suppose you knew that I was interested in plants and growing things, and you were talking about flowers. And I remember we stopped and looked at a flower and you asked me about the characteristics of the flower. And I can always remember that because that was so helpful in terms of understanding what the characteristics of a reality are about. And it was so simple. But it was just, at that moment, it was just the right thing to say. And so I suppose that's an example of talking about something that the other person is interested in by way of teaching. Mm-hmm. So I haven't forgotten that. Sanya hasn't forgotten that, I should say.
When she stayed with my mother in England a long time ago, my mother loves gardening, her flowers, and Jan went round her garden looking at every flower and inspecting it all, because that's my mother's interest and that's a way that gives her pleasure, and we don't know what it may lead to. But one thing I did overhear from your lunch, I think, Maeve, you were talking about also about helping family and different kinds of kusala, and she was pointing out that other kinds of kusala are helpful, but actually it's only the understanding of realities that is the way out, would you?
Well, it actually followed a because Jan and Phil were talking, and I was speaking with Kun Duandern about her project with the children, and so spoke a little bit about that with Ajahn, and that led to Ajahn saying that there are many ways to help, but the best way to help is through right understanding. Helping. Yes, because
helping people to understand.
Because that is not lost. It is not lost. Like helping to help people or animals, whatever it is in this life. We do not know what happens after that, but we know that understanding will not be lost.
And I didn't hear what you were saying, but I heard Ajahn saying, well, what I like to do is let other people help in other ways, but for me, because I feel that what is most precious in life is helping people to understand, so that's what I do.
But it doesn't mean I won't help at all.
No, of course
not. No, you actually made the point that if there are other people that are helping, then that is good. But if there is not, then you will step in. So
only by conditions.
By conditions, yeah. Yes. By
if conditions. One can help the other to understand realities, why not helping in other way too?
So again, no rules.
Right. It is conditioned, so it arises. So what's the rule? The rule is so late. It has arisen already.
I think you, after that, you went on to asking about charitas, is that right?
Yes, after that I asked Ajahn about charitas because I've always... not always, but recently or in past years, been interested in this idea of charitas and accumulations and why some people have different tendencies. But yesterday or the day before, I learned about accumulations at this moment. That's when we know the accumulations now, and it's the same with charitas. But Ajahn did mention that, I think you said, if I remember correctly, that we all have lopa.
All charitas. Depending
all charitas.
What is more predominant.
And lopa is more predominant.
It does mean that the person who has dosa charita doesn't have lopa charita.
We all have all the mm-hmm, charitas.
Yeah. More or less.
And one little comment back to talking to someone like your father who has only a little bit of understanding. I think she did also mention one can talk about what is appearing now, because even though it may seem the person doesn't have any interest, they may be able to appreciate a little bit about what appears now. So sometimes one may avoid the topic of what appears now, but it may be meaningful to that person. So when one appreciates and understands more about how it is just seeing now or just what is visible that appears now, one can mention that too.
John, is there a difference between charitas and accumulations?
The same. Accumulation of what type of charita, more or less.
I think I asked Ajahn about lopa. I like to think it has already arisen. I think it's important to remember that lopa has already arisen, and I used to want to try to have less lopa, but that's...
It's gone.
It's gone. It's arisen and it's gone. And
we can almost say that as soon as it appears, it falls away.
But then I remembered that yesterday you said it is dangerous. So just to say that it has arisen and it's fallen away, we might think that there's, it's not dangerous, but it's still dangerous.
Akusala?
I guess we also asked Ajahn about Javana cheetahs. We've learned recently, and we've heard on the internet list, that instead of talking about Javanas, I always love to talk about Javanas performing functions. I think maybe I just like the word Javanas. And one reason I did like it is the idea of the repetition. There's a series of cheetahs, and it seemed to me that that was involved in the accumulation of kusala and akusala just by virtue of that repetition. But today Ajahn was stressing that it's kusala citta consuming the object, whatever it is. And we like the word consume because a lot of us who've read about javanas in the texts have come across, runs through, which isn't as helpful as consumes.
Consume in that manner. Run through.
In the manner of running through.
Right. But if it just in terms of running through without understanding, it is the manners of consuming, then we might doubt.
Been thinking about that a bit. What do we mean by consuming it?
You think that you consume what in the day?
Food.
Only food?
No.
But without the eating or the taste, can there be the tasting consciousness?
No.
So what really consume? What consume?
The jitas.
Yes.
Consume.
Can seeing consume?
No.
Sampatichana?
No.
Santirana?
No.
Votapana?
No.
So what consume? What can consume?
Kusala jita.
Or akusala jita.
And it consumes it by
experiencing, running through.
Okay.
So rapidly.
Experiencing is easier than running through, I think.
So when you say consume by running through, by running through here, you mean by experiencing several times very quickly? Mm-hmm. Is this what you mean?
As quick as a moment of citta can do. Very greedy, that manners.
Gobbles it up.
Devours. And in that way, kusala and akusala accumulate.
Mm-hmm. So, assuming all objects, not only food or taste.
Could you please explain more about why seeing and santirana, sampashana, and
don't consume? How many times seeing arises? How many times sampatichana arises?
Only one.
And how many times santirana arises?
Only once.
And how many times votapana arises?
Only once.
So it cannot consume, just perform its own function.
Well, And the seeing and the santirana and the sampatichana, other way around, are also vipaka jitta, right?
So what gitja?
Mm-hmm.
What gitja?
Mm-hmm.
Gitja.
Well, seeing experiences visual object.
Gitja? What gitja of seeing? Just see.
Just sees.
It cannot consume.
Okay. And the sampatichana?
Just receive.
Just receive.
Vitaka is there. Just receive.
And the santirana just investigate?
Mm-hmm. Santirana. after Sampaticcana, a little more, a little more experience. After, yeah.
Okay. So it's particularly, the consuming is particularly relating to the repetition,
Sevana.
The savana nature of it occurring several times in rapid succession.
Just to maybe reinforce that, this is from survey of Paramatta Dhammas. When we hear a sound which may be pleasant or unpleasant, it is only one moment of vipaka vitichita that hears the sound and then falls away completely. However, there are conditions for a great number of akusala chittas that like or dislike the rupas that are appearing. So that is a great number, a series, not just one.
Is it full after consuming?
Never full.
Again and again, again and again. Yeah. Even arahata consume, but with kriya citta. No more kilesa.
And on the topic from this morning about aramanupanissya pachya, the object which is decisive condition, at first I said it could be condition for kusala or akusala, and then afterwards it seemed it could only be for attachment, but actually first time was right. It can be for kusala or akusala, like what is the reason that, what is the main reason we are here, for example, maybe understanding. So in that case, understanding is the aramanu panissya pachya, the decisive object condition for kusala citta. But it can't be, I think the point was, it can't just be a very ordinary object like sound or visible object, that is the decisive condition by object for kusala. It can only be the decisive condition by object for attachment. For it to be the decisive condition by object for kusala, it has to be a some special reality like understanding or dana or something like this. Is that correct, Ajahn?
When we talk about aramana, we have to classify whether it is sensuous object or not sensuous object, so we can understand the difference between aramana and aramanathipati and aramanupanissaya. Aramana is anything which citta experiences at that very moment, and aramanathipati, what is that?
But like we said, it is the object which is, which its nature, so it's, for example, a rupa which has a nature of being very desirable in itself, like we gave the example of like the rupa of the diamond ring. So you look at it and it's because of the very desirable nature of the object, it is a condition for lobha at that moment.
Let's go to the market. What is the aramana and what is the aramanathipati? See? Just walk in, you see many, many goods,
right,
food and many things, just aramana. But what is the aramanathipati, the one you like it, you want, you would like to buy it or have it?
And a good example today at lunch is, before lunch, Ajahn asked me which one it is, and I said, the Coke. But after we finished eating, she says, what is it now, when we were talking to her, and Sarah said, that's easy, understanding, we wanted to listen. We were interested in listening and understanding more.
So Coke is aramanathipati for attachment. But when you come together to have Dhamma discussion, understanding is the aramanathipati for that citta at that very moment. And it is the aramanupanissaya pachya. When we come together and talk, so that we can have more understanding. So understanding can be the aramanupanissaya for those who are interested.
I
I think the example of the coke at the beginning was the aromanu panisya pachya. It means which object is one attracted to, which kind of food does one like, so which is the one that one has a accumulated tendency to liking. Whereas the point about aromana adipati is it's the object itself that is particularly desirable. Like if you go into the market and some oranges look particularly beautiful, one, those, it's so, then it's the nature of the reality itself that is the object
and
or attachment.
This can be the upanisya for lopa, while the understanding is not the aramanupanisya of lopa. That's why the pleasant sensuous object can be aramanupanisya pachya for only lopa.
So if you're talking about aramanupanisya pachya, the sensuous object can only be object of lopa, but if you're talking about aramana adipati, it can be object of
kusala
or of lobha or of a kusala.
Sarah, so you mentioned about understandings as an object, and so you mentioned it as the reality, but if understanding hasn't arisen yet, because I understand aramana to be something that is there, should be experienced. So when there's no understanding to be the object, then understanding is just a concept then.
Well, understanding...
It's on.
Understanding can't be experienced through sense doors. Can only be experienced through mind doors. So it can occur later on. It doesn't have to be arisen there. That's my understanding.
I think she wasn't suggesting it was through the sense door. She's talking about aramanu panisya pachya. It's not a sense object, but I said that the reality of understanding itself, like why are we studying here or why do we come here, for the sake of understanding. So nothing to do with sense door or mind door at the moment, but just for the sake of understanding, and that is the condition by aramanu panisya pachya now for more understanding. And actually I asked exactly the same question to Ajahn as yours. I said, oh, but if we say we're coming here for understanding, it's like a concept of understanding. And her response was, understanding is reality, because here, for the sake of development of understanding itself.
In the case of rupa and adipachaya, rupa, it's clear, can be
adipatipachaya.
Yeah, for lobha, but also for kusala.
Yes, but not the aramanupanisaya.
No, that I know, but for adipati, I would like an example.
Aramanatipati.
Yeah.
Is the object. But when you like it very much, is it kusala or lobha? When it's adipati. Yeah.
But can it be for kusala also?
Like what?
Can it be for...
Nope. Like what? Gold, can it be aramana of kusala? Gold? The appearance of gold, can it be aramana adipati for kusala?
When you think of the Buddha...
You think of the Buddha, not the gold.
No. The golden statue.
When it is the aramana of kusala, it's not the adipati, but it can be aramana.
Yes,
so you
yes.
don't think of the beauty of the gold
no.
to be kusala.
Yes.
But when you think of gold, you like it so much?
No, that is loba, yes.
That is loba.
But then you want to give it away.
So usually the sensuous object can be object of attachment.
But, yes.
But can it be object of kusala?
When you want to give it away.
When it's the object of kusala, it doesn't mind the beauty of it.
No.
What about?
It doesn't cling to the beauty, but no. It can be object of kusala.
Kusala.
What about when there's just understanding it? Yes. Understanding the rupa.
In that case, yeah. Or you think of dana to give it away.
When you like anything very, very much,
yeah.
Can it be kusala at that moment?
There'll be usually lobha. Yeah.
But when you don't mind at all about the beauty of it, it can be object for kusala, to arise. You can give it away, see?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Or when you see the what we give the Mahabodhi, the casket, Horikram.
Yeah,
so very beautiful.
Very beautiful, yeah.
At that moment, lopa or kusala.
When you don't think of...
At the moment you enjoy the beauty of it, it is kusala or attachment. Appreciation, not as much as it can condition lopa, attachment to it.
Yeah.
Because kusala does not attach.
No.
So when there is attachment to such thing, it's not kusala, it is lopa. Even the same thing, very good, very beautiful, but you don't have such clinging to that. It can condition dana or kusala, thinking of the Buddha's virtue. That is not the beauty of the sensuous object.
What about... Because when we talk about the beauty of the casket, it's just concepts about those particular rupas. And what about at that moment when it's just understanding of rupa at that moment?
I can say that when I see, I think that it's so very beautiful, but I don't like to have them at all.
No.
See? Right. Not aramanupanisaya, right. Not aramanathipati for kusala, but for lopa only. All the jewelries, see? So beautiful. But I have no idea of having it at all.
But even when there's no idea of having it, it can be lopa or not lopa or...
At the moment of enjoy looking at it, and it's beautiful, it is lopa.
Yes.
So it is aramanathipati for lopa. But when I think of how can we have such beautiful thing to, what you call, bhucha.
Yeah, to give it away, to offer it.
To the virtues of Buddha.
Yeah.
That is not... Nothing concerned with the beauty of the jewelry. So that cannot be a tipati for kusala. When you pass the place where the shop that they sell these things, what is that? Aramana tipati or just aramana pachaya?
Chaitanya
is aramana, but for some people,
yes,
it interests that person so much, they cannot go away. Just stop, get inside, look, see? Same thing. But when it's aramana tipati, it conditions lopa.
Only akusala then, also.
Sensuous object, pleasant sensuous object.
That you just said a few moments ago, it can condition kusala, akusala, lobha, or kusala.
When it's not aramanathipati, no clinging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So coffee can be aramanatipati. Not necessary to be diamond or jewelry, only coffee.
Does anyone have any more questions about pachayas? I guess this is the same. I mean, it's not necessarily a new topic, but we were talking about understanding as an object, and for me it seems that the idea that understanding, an interest in understanding, is always kusala, I don't think that's true. I think there's almost always lopa, to want to know more and to understand more, and I think we get comforted by what we think we understand. For example, when we hear about defilements oozing, the asevas and the yolks and so much attachment, but when I hear about that, I feel happy to hear about it, which is a bit peculiar because they're...
You like the words, the terms, or the understanding?
I think I like to think that now, having heard about that, I have understood something that will lead to always being happy and always being free of suffering. And
it's kusala or akusala, which is aramanopanisya pachaya.
Akusala.
Depending.
And there may be moments of understanding, but to think that because we're here listening, that we have a kusala interest in understanding, I think is not... Well, again, accumulations, I feel a lot of attachment.
And this is to differentiate the aramana as being just only aramana or aramanatipati, right? Because aramana are so different. They have different appearance. Is this sound your aramanatipati?
To be honest...
That's why we can tell what is aramanatipati and what is not only aramana.
I've been hearing talks about all these aramanas and I haven't studied this topic, so it's all foreign language to me. But I'm sure when I listen to this again later, after having studied the pachayas a little bit, I might. But sounds useful.
But when it sounds of the very sweet violin, aramanatipati or aramana?
I don't know what those words mean.
You didn't have to call, but you like it or not.
Mm. But why not just talk about lopa and...
Because it can be attached to any level of pleasant or unpleasant objects. Like you like cold or steamed egg better. See? Many levels.
So we understand our accumulations better thanks to
sometimes
considering these.
When you have to make a choice, you cannot make it. So very difficult because you like both. See? So we are talking about aramana to classify or differentiate different levels of aramana.
And aramana means object?
Only
right?
Object. But they are so various that sometimes it can be object of this desire, great desire, or ordinary one. Or it doesn't mean anything at all, like now.
John, your question about the sweet, do you like the sound of the sweet violin, aramana or aramanatipati, it depends on whether one really likes it. One really likes it, aramanatipati. If it's just there, a sound.
Can we say that all sounds of music are beautiful?
No.
No. See,
no.
Even music. So we can see
in the mind
the
of
different.
The person, the experiencer.
Yeah. So
and
we,
some mm-hmm. and some sounds are special in terms of conditioning attachment. Like
yeah.
Like not all odors are the same, like the odor of coffee, maybe the one that for Phil is a special odor that conditions attachment. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so for another person, it could condition dosa.
It could.
Yeah. So it's very much in the accumulation of the citta experiencing
in
the object.
This morning, I smelled the odor of coffee. Very, very good. Mm. I don't know what brand or how come, from where. See, that's all for me. Mm. See, mm-hmm. It's not Aramanupanisayapachaya. But it's Aramanathipati, mm-hmm. but not Aramanupanisaya, because yeah. I don't mind at all.
If it was just in the mind of the person, like she mentioned, it's not Aramanupanisaya because it's not her accumulation to particularly like it or want it or desire it. So then it's just in the mind. But when it comes to talking about Aramana Adipati Pachya, like she said this morning, it's particularly talking about the quality of the rupa. So
okay.
Sounds are different, so some sounds have a quality that is conditioned for attachment.
Like the smell of flowers in the morning. It's it's not a question of personal taste, because it's a fine, pleasant aroma.
Okay, so the aramana activity, it's the quality of the rupa, not the accumulations of the person mm-hmm. experiencing mm-hmm. it.
And
okay,
so like
I had that backwards.
And so like the quality of the smell of a coffee may be conditioned by upanisya to begin to like it more and more. So that's why there can be the accumulated tendency to that particular smell or taste. So the adipati can lead to it being aramanupanisya pachya for that person. So then they get used to liking that smell more and more and beginning to enjoy the taste of it. And that's how the tendency accumulates.
Whereas there are smells that are very strong, like durian or cheese, and that is a matter of accumulation, whether you like it or don't like it.
So, Phil, you said you will study this, but in fact, Ajahn is helping us to understand now, with these examples, with these simple examples of the food that we were eating at lunch and the smell of coffee this morning, and so it doesn't have to be later, it can be now.
But I don't understand the different terms, the terminology, so so it's difficult to understand now, but...
It doesn't actually, in the end, it doesn't really matter what the terms are. The point is just to show why their liking accumulates to one object and not another object, and why some objects seem more desirable than others. And so it's just to show by different ways the relationship between objects and moments of attachment, or even moments of kusala now, and just to show how conditions are at this moment, and
getting back to helping people to understand Dhamma. Ajahn mentioned coffee for some reason, because I'm always I like coffee so much. So she's helping to make it real by talking about the objects now that are on hand.
To understand it's not only word, but they are all reality.
At risk of boring everyone, the aramana tibeti, there's something special about the quality of the rupa. That
if we talk just about rupa.
Okay. But if would most, the special quality of that rupa, is that something that attracts liking by the jitta that smells or tastes or depending on
not
what it
for
is.
Arahata.
Not for arahata, but for non-Aryans, non-arahats.
Depending on accumulation.
So some people might not like it.
Even it's not as good, but it can be object of desire or attachment, see? And when it is so good, what about that?
Then it could become Aramana Upanisya Pachaya.
It conditions attachment. But it depends on whether it will be the Upanisya or not. Because we know the smell is so good, that's all.
Yeah.
I don't try to have it all day. Only smell.
But somebody might.
Just smell? Don't taste it? No coffee, only the smell.
So it is Aramana Tipiti.
Pardon?
It is the example that Achan just gave.
Good quality. Like
smell, yeah. Not tasting it is Aramana Tipiti.
When we talk about smell, it can be for those who is intoxicated, like hearing or something like that, see? Not enough for them. So it's Aramanupanisya for Lobha. One cannot live without it. But for the others, only smelling, it's good. That's all. Like coffee, see? I drink coffee too, but the smell is different. Because the taste is taste and the smell is the smell. So this morning I smelled, maybe now, I don't know, the smell of coffee. So good, very, very good. Only that.
Doesn't mean you have the wish to drink it.
No, only that. So it is the object of attachment, not Aramana Upanisya. Until I cannot live without it.
Some people like Thai, it's the hearing the talking about the smell of coffee can condition him to order a strong one.
So, learning Dhamma and teaching Dhamma also the attachment?
Who knows?
Is it that it depends on each moment or?
Some people learn to take examination to get number one from learning Dhamma.
Hmm. And if you see some lotus flower and you found that it's quite beautiful and you wanted to bring to a Buddha statue, so is it a lobha in there or?
When it does not arise, how can we know? But in a day, whatever happens, right then we can say, oh, this is Atipati or Aramana Upanisya, see? But when it does not arise, you just talk about it. It's not at the moment when it appears. Like the sound. There are two sounds. Sweet one or trouble one, I don't know. Depending on that characteristic, which is in itself pleasant or unpleasant. For some people, the sound of that bell is very pleasant, but for some, they cannot sleep. It troubles that person, see? So it depends. So we are talking about the nature of rupa itself. One is unpleasant, the other is pleasant, no matter who likes it or not. So when time comes, we can say directly, oh, that is Aramanathipati or Arumanupanisyapachaya. But when we are talking about any subject, it doesn't show up the moment of being Aramana Pachaya. But why we are sitting here, Pakatupa Nisaya is almost like latent tendency. It can be conditioned for anything at any time because of the accumulation. Like Asaya Anusaya, the accumulation of Kusala and Akusala. And this is the accumulation of different experiences of different objects from time to time, piled up, accumulated, so it can condition such moment of like or dislike that object. To what degree? Some who come to listen to the teaching say, oh, it's good, that's all, never come again. See, it's good, but not Aramanupanisya for that person.
In that example, when you say listening to the teachings but not Aramanupanisya for that person, that case, well, it's just hearing about the Dharma and understanding about the meaning of dharmas and conceptual idea of dharmas, that is Aramanupanisya Pachaya, to hear and consider and listen more often. So if we talk about understanding or listening to the teachings, then it could be either the reality or ideas about dharmas. That is,
I think that if anything happen, we can talk about that very clearly. But when it doesn't happen and we try to understand this situation or that situation or this aramana or that aramana, it cannot be clear at all. The Thai people, all of them said that those who believe in the Buddha's teaching say that, oh, it's so precious, so wonderful, so great, it's so helpful, but they do not study. What does it mean? No Aramanupanisya Pachaya. Right. Only the idea that it's good.
Right.
That's all. See?
Yes. So, because if it's not any real understanding, then it cannot be then Aramanupanisya Pachaya. And also in the other examples, like the smelling the coffee and so on, of course it depends on karma, whether what is smelt, like you've been talking a lot about the smell of coffee. I haven't no idea of smell or coffee.
Someone, so please, have such smell now, yeah. So Kunsara would know.
So, I mean, it just depends on...
Right. Yeah. Right then.
Because
not, do we don't have to think
much. The smell
is
much stronger. So it just... But I mean, the general point is that it also depends on karma, what is experienced at different moments. Like one may pass the jewellery shop, and for some people they may see all the fine jewellery, but someone else may not...
No conditions,
no interest, or may not even be
noticed. It's right, it's good, it's beautiful, but no interest.
Yeah. So when you mentioned about interest in studying the Dhammas, and it can become the object for Upanisaya Pachaya, so I understand that you mean, actually, is it when there's understanding of the Dhammas which arise, then any object, any reality can become the object by way of Aramanu Upanisaya Pachaya, accompanied by understanding.
We have to use that term, Aramanu Upanisaya Pachaya, to make it clear, like ordinary life, even the example. What about that?
Just like when we come here, we learn about seeing, hearing, and at some moments there is understanding of maybe very little of seeing or hearing, and it conditioned more interest in understanding, seeing and hearing. So in that case, seeing and hearing become the object for in a kusala way.
Kusala or akusala?
Yeah, so when you said in by sense door, then it's only akusala. But because I'm just trying to understand when you said about understanding can become the object for accumulations for
I have to use the word upanisaya again.
Yeah, upanisaya. Mm-hmm. But because you just mentioned now something about reality, so I said that maybe some interest in studying what appears now, it can also condition more interest in studying now. But I don't know by way of which Pachaya.
We don't have to know by way of what Pachaya that we are talking about this. See? It's conditioned by thinking. Or if you want to find out, we can know that every experience from moment to moment accumulated is pakatu panisya pachaya. And it's not just pakatupanisya, it can be aramanupanisya or anantarupanisya. There are three kinds of upanisya pachaya. When we like different things, wanting so much, going and buying, we know aramanupanisya pachaya. That object is aramanupanisya. Otherwise, you don't do that at all. When time comes, you know, it's because of that experience with attachment until it becomes conditioned to look for it, try to get it. That's all.
So like now we come here and we consider and we hear more about dharmas, and so there's the accumulated habit of considering and hearing about dharmas because of the appreciation of the value. And also we can say that by hearing and considering about dharmas and understanding a little bit more about such realities, it becomes the object that there is accumulated tendency to being interested in hearing and considering more. So by both of these conditions, by way of the object and by the natural accumulation and by the object being the condition for the accumulated tendency to be interested in hearing and considering more about.
Do you read Dhamma book? Do you read Dhamma book? See?
Yes, I do.
What condition is it?
Interest in understanding more about realities.
The understanding or Dhamma is aramanupanisya pachaya. Just know when time comes, what are you doing? Do you like cooking?
I'm hungry.
If not?
Not my special object of...
So when you have time, what do you do?
Dhamma.
Open the Dhamma book.
Dhamma
that
books.
Is aramanupanisya pachaya, for sure. That's all.
And if she's cooking, if she's hungry, she's still opening the Dhamma book.
So it's like the tendencies of understanding.
Right. But we talk about object, so it is aramanupa, nisaya, aramanupa.
So understanding itself had a tendency like or dislike? It's so easy to understand that like or dislike some things, there's tendency for it,
yes,
but what about understanding?
Now we're talking just about the object, not the like or dislike. What is the object that, withdraw you or... bring you there,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Attract you.
And in this case, it's just the accumulated tendency that's drawn to it, and not the nature of the object itself.
I like this one, but not enough to be Aramanupanisiyapachaya. I don't mind when it's not this,
yeah.
Or any time. But if I like this very, very much, I cannot live without it.
I guess that's why when we're here, there's more confidence about understanding. But when we go back into our busy daily life and we're surrounded again by all the objects that we...
But still, you have that object as Aramanupanisya, so you come back.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. As you said, some people...
never throw it away.
Nina, sometimes on the list, when I talk about lopa, 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 the rufa lopa, Nina says, you always talk about lopa, but it's not always lopa. There's understanding, too. And I always appreciate... I think I mentioned the other day when Lodwick loves the sutta about it's possible, and
it
that's why the Buddha...
Yeah. And you always say that everyone always takes so much, too much comfort in hearing about realities like seeing invisible object, and really you think it's so much loba, but actually there can only ever be understanding of the loba that arises now, and no point speculating or trying to think this person has loba or that person, because otherwise it's thinking in terms of people and beings. It's not understanding it's loba, the characteristic at this moment.
Yeah. A little bit about Ajahn said about talking about something that other people like. So one who can talk about the object that the people like, he needs some metta at that moment, right? For example, I meet someone else and I talk with him about the something that he likes. So, should I need some metta to do that?
True. Any rule?
I see.
You want to sell him your product. You are just trying to get his...
to sell the tour.
Okay. The person like to talk about cooking, so you talk about planting. What about that?
I think Thai question is in relation to what you said earlier about how to help people to get more interested in the Dhamma. So
no techniques, no rules. Yeah. It depends on that very moment when you are friendly.
Yes. So just it's not, I think he was not asking about rule, but he said that in order to, because, for
in
example, I'm not interested in planting, but that person is interested in planting. So without metta, I could not talk or listen to him for a long time about planting. Or gardening.
What about being friendly, understanding person? Is that not metta?
The point that John making is that we're trying to deduce an approach from just an anecdote of what happened on a particular occasion. But she said there isn't any rule. So it's not a method. Yes. It's not a method or a strategy or anything like that, but just happened to come out that way at the time.
And Lynn, I'd like to just get back to your question. You mentioned about the example of, was it giving flowers or lotus flowers? So, for example, the other day you may not have been with us when we all gave a rose to the Buddha statue, but isn't it like now so many different kinds of citta moments of kusala, reflecting on the Buddha's qualities, and many moments of attachment, so many different cittas just like now?
I think maybe when you see the flowers, then you like it, then is it the loba in there? And for a while, then you want to bring that flowers to the Buddha statue, then it's another moment, I think. Then maybe it's maybe it's a kusala on a kusala. We cannot know about that.
And the reason we cannot know is because it's not now. But now, for example, we're sitting here and we're listening to Dharma.
Mm.
So some moments of friendliness, try to help our friends. Some moments of a little understanding when we appreciate what is said about realities. But also many moments of attachment, because there's hearing sounds that are so pleasant, and then we like it. So much attachment also. And then many, many moments of ignorance, just not knowing what is experienced, and just seeing, hearing, so many different realities. So that's why the understanding always has to begin now.
Yeah.
Beginning to understand, like now, the seeing, and it just sees that which is seen, and then thinking with attachment, or thinking with kusala citta. So if we understand more about what is real now, then we know, okay, whether we are giving flowers to the Buddha statue or any other time, it's going to be just like now, moments of seeing, moments of thinking, moments of attachment, moments of kusala.
Yeah.
So this is why Ajahn always comes back to now and seeing at this moment, because then it's the same whether here or in Vietnam, in front of the Buddha statue or in the garden, just moments of seeing, moments of attachment, moments of thinking about it, on and on and on.
And if we hear the blessed sound, and at the time we only hear, we don't like or like it, so can we stop at the time, or is feel that it's like we have no feeling? Is it correct?
What do you mean by can we stop?
I just assume about that.
Stop what? Please? Stop the attachment.
No, we don't have any like or dislike about the sound.
So what's the question? If it's a pleasant sound, then we'll have attachment for it, because that's the nature, because we have accumulated attachment for pleasant objects, so if it's a pleasant sound, like if it's food with a pleasant taste, there'll be attachment. So if we think about stopping or having neither attachment, neither pleasant or unpleasant feeling about it, then it's an idea of trying to change the way things are happening.
Then there's self in there.
Of course.
And perhaps we don't appreciate that actually there is feeling at every single moment, so impossible to not have feeling, because feeling, Vedana, Chetasika, arises every moment with Chitta, mm-hmm. either pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling. And usually everyone would like to have pleasant feeling and no one would like to have unpleasant feeling, but it just depends on conditions, what kind of feeling arises. And the point of study and understanding is not to stop or not to have one kind of feeling or not another, or not to have any attachment, but just to understand what is real, what is experienced now. Otherwise it's just clinging and accumulating more attachment to the idea of self that can stop or change or select the object.
And one thing you said yesterday, or I think I heard you say, maybe I misunderstood, but it was very encouraging. You said instead of trying to know kusala from akusala now, just understand that there is a lot of kusala in the past, or maybe I misunderstood, that there has been a lot of kusala. Did I mishear?
When we talk about something, it's only word or reality at that moment. For example, if we're talking about lopa, is that lopa now in order to be known, not just to be heard only? When we talk about seeing, shouldn't we develop the understanding? Or shouldn't we, means not just hear about it, but think over and know that how much understanding of it is now, or none at all, or not yet developed, to be true, to be truthful, see? Seeing is not easy to understand as a reality, which arises now and falls away now. The truth is that. And by hearing more and more, it can condition moment of beginning to understand seeing when seeing sees. Or when lopa arises, it might be moment of understanding that characteristic as not self, as not self. Otherwise, one tries to stop it or learn more about it by thinking about it, but not directly understanding it as a reality. We have lopa for sure, so great. Don't think about that. That because it's common to have lopa, but no understanding of lopa as not self. That's why learning about lopa, that it cannot be controlled, not under anyone's control. It's conditioned, so it arises before we would like it to arise or not.
I think I misheard. What I took was an encouragement to appreciate a bit better that there are conditions for us to be here in the human realm listening to the Buddha's teaching, and that can be a source of confidence, especially for someone like me who's always thinking lopa.
But that's not enough at all, because it's only thinking. At moment of seeing, not necessary to think of lopa at all, because not understanding seeing, but learning and hearing more about it, it can condition a little bit of understanding at moment of seeing. It has to be at moment of that reality.
Maybe I'll move on to a question I had to... I'd love to hear more about the citta, that there's this visible object and then there's seeing that sees in the dark. And maybe I mentioned yesterday, but it's so difficult to understand the characteristic of bodhicitta that knows, hearing that hears, seeing that sees, no shape, no form, just in the dark. If I could ask you to say some more about that, I'd appreciate it. But
Buddha didn't point Buddha didn't point just asava and oka, also yoga, to be reminded to at moment of enjoying hearing about that, who I like it, I appreciate to hear it on this subject, or not on the other thing. See, it's there.
So yoga.
So just understand whatever is heard. Like lopa, it's so common, everyone has it. Who doesn't have lopa? In order to see how great it is, how strong it is, who doesn't have lopa? Only arahata. So tapana still have lopa. Sakatagami, anagami, they all have lopa. Only arahata doesn't have lopa. So it's not the matter of trying to do this or that, but the only way to have less lopa is understanding as not me. Otherwise, I feel happy when I hear this or that. I appreciate this or that. Concerning I, for the sake of I, it's not the understanding of no I at all. Lopa is lopa. It's better than I'm so glad to understand now that I have very much or great lopa. See, it's still concerned, but lopa does not belong to anyone. It's only the moment when there are conditions for its arising. That's all. To understand reality better than I enjoy listening.
Or I want to ask about this,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's a fascinating topic,
mm-hmm.
Understanding what's now. So you're bringing, this is a very good example, because I was trying to go in a different topic, but you're bringing me back to
the yoga,
to the loka, the yoga now. Mm-hmm. Very, very good.
And that's really, and I think the point is that's really the only time that the yoke, like now, yoke of attachment can be understood is now, not when we, not the other situation, because it's not now, but right now, when there is lobha now, or being yoked by lobha now, that is the only time it can be known. Otherwise, it's just thinking about an imaginary kusala citta at another time.
Or thinking about yoke.
Thinking about it.
Why is there?
Yeah. Also, still continuing with summary from lunchtime, which may take for the whole session, which is good. And yet there were also some points you were asking about nimitta,
all right.
And maybe ignorance and wrong view, or maybe that was another point.
Yesterday at lunch, I asked Ajahn to explain more about whether seeing invisible object and then nimitta of the reality. And I thought that I'd heard Ajahn said that nimitta goes on or follows on. And she explained, I think everybody knows the story about the stick with the fire in the circle. And we see that going on. And she said, there's a nimitta of some food on the table, again, making it real at that moment. So I think, and we were saying in the car afterwards on the way back that until we heard about nimitta, it was very difficult to understand how there could be awareness of a citta that was so quick. But then after we heard about nimitta, we could understand a bit better. So I...
It's the nimitta now?
Yes.
Nimitta of what?
visible object.
And of what?
Every condition.
And of what? Of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, visible objects, sound, all are nimitta. The appearance of that which keeps on arising and falling away in succession, so that no one can know it, because it just arises and falls away in split seconds, just one, very, very tiny one, shorter than we can imagine. So how can that be the object? So the object now is only nimitta of it, nimitta of seeing. How many moments of seeing? Arising and falling away. Seeing arises, who knows? Seeing falls away, who knows? But now there is seeing, and not only one moment of seeing, so many, many seeings. So these moments are nimitta. And nimitta is nimitta of as the object which citta takes from whatever appears. For example, this is nimitta, see? So everything in life, one lives in nimitta world, because it's impossible to experience just one unit of reality, no matter it's citta or cetasika or rupa, whatever. So this is the world of nimitta. Can there be nimitta without reality?
No.
So there must be the unknown reality.
Behind the scene.
Behind the scene, all the time, arising and falling away, experience different object, not the same one at all. Always new one, new one. And what is left is only sign of the rupa, or sign of citta, or sign of feeling. Different ones.
Ajahn, it's very hard to understand about nimitta, because every citta has its own object, so I cannot imagine how nimitta exists.
What is seen now?
Visible objects? By theory.
One or many?
Many.
Can you know one?
No.
No? So what that can be known is only now which appears. There can never be nimitta without reality of that which can be seen. So there must be the reality which can be seen. But it's not just one, see? So many, many that which can be seen. Because why? Where is it that which can be seen?
Because
where is the reality that can be seen?
Gone already.
Where is it? Before it goes away.
It's the
fall from the sky or what? Where is it? See? No idea at all. Couldn't imagine that what is seen now come from where? But you see that without the four primary rupas, there is not anything that can be seen. But that which is seen is not one of the four primary rupas, but it is another extra one which arises with the four primary rupas. It's so real, because whenever there are the four primary rupas, there must be a reality arising with it, which can impinge on the eye base and can condition seeing just the reality which is able to see it. Hearing is not able to experience that. Tasting, consciousness cannot experience that at all. So it's a reality which just be experienced by only when there is the eye base. Without the eye base, this reality cannot appear. And not just ideas, there must be citta which can experience it. And where is it with all Mahabhuta Rupa? Wherever there is Mahabhuta Rupa, there is that particular Rupa which can be seen, which is not hard, which is not other Mahabhuta Rupa.
Sorry, what did you mean by extra one?
Because it's not the four primary rupas. There are four primary rupas. And what else? With it.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Inseparables.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Thank you. Rupas. Yeah.
What else with it?
Visible object is not one of the four primary rupas.
No.
It's one of the inseparables.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that arises together with the four primary rupas.
So what is seen is the nimitta of the four primary rupas.
That what the citta experienced.
Only seeing consciousness can see. The other cittas cannot.
The nimitta even, of the visual.
Even somebody cannot perform the function of seeing. See? How amazing.
But nimitta is not the object of citta.
Citta experience nimitta now.
So can you say that after the first seeing process, so the rupa, which is a visible object, has fallen away, and what is experienced following in the mind door is the nimitta of that rupa, which has fallen away and which has the same characteristic than the rupa.
Because thinking also has another object. If in that case, nimitta must be the object of thinking.
Well, you mean in the mind door process? Because there needs to be several mind door process before there's the idea of what has been seen.
So in that mind door process, you mentioned it must be nimitta?
Yes.
But how about as much as one can know? We are talking about that which cannot be known, right? But what about that we can know, like, or can understand, like what is nimitta and where is nimitta? And nimitta of what? Of every reality, because each reality arises and falls away in split seconds so fast. We can almost say that as soon as it is object, it falls away. But that is longer than we think, much longer than we think. Like the sound, the kusala and akusala consume already, unknown. See how fast. And when we recognize as the sound of something, it is only nimitta. Because each reality has fallen. But continuity of the succession of the arising and falling way, condition of form, shape and form, to be seen as people and things. And when we talk about people, about eyes and ears are different. What about dog and cat? Different from human being. What about snake and lizard? See? All nimittas of reality. That's why in Sutta Buddha didn't say anything about sampatichanna santirana when it's not about kanta or ariyasaccha in details. As much as one can know right now. Because what is seen is the nimitta of visible object. What is heard is the nimitta of sound. And now seeing
that seeing sees is the nimitta of seeing.
What are you wondering? Is about whether concept is nimitta is concept, or what is your question?
I know it's the difference, but I don't see. I know nimitta is not concept, but then I don't know where, how it exists.
So what is concept and what is nimitta?
Nimitta is like the replica of realities, as I understand.
And what is concept?
Concept is just the like the objects of thinking, but also without realities there cannot be concept.
Mostly we think of concept as being something made by the mind, right?
Yes.
But nimitta is not a creation of the mind.
Ajahn said, we're talking about what we cannot experience, cannot understand now.
And also, I think, Nina, you said you would like to bring up a point about, or question about nimitta and mind-door and sense-door.
Something you wanted to know more in general. And relating to the Vipassana Jnana, which knows the difference between sense-door and mind-door, because now we don't know that. But I don't know about nimitta, whether it's only in the mind-door, I don't think so. It's so fast.
Usually when we talk what is seen, see, only nimitta is seen.
Well, when we talk about concept, we think of what is not real, but we cannot say that of nimitta. And we used to ask Ajahn, is it a concept or not? But she would say, it's now. So that we cannot work it out really in that way by thinking about it. So it was stressed that it is the nimitta of reality. The nimitta of the five khandhas of rupa, the nimitta of vedana, feeling, of remembrance, sanya, of other chetasikas, sankara khanda, or of citta, that is called sankara nimitta in this context. So we cannot say it's only a concept and it's not real in that sense.
And the thing that mentioned rupa usually exists for seven chittas, so how about nimitta, the time that nimitta exists?
In order to understand nimitta, it has to be this moment, right? So what is seen? And what is known? Why do we say that nimitta is seen? Because seeing arises and falls away, and it experiences a reality. But now what is seen is the succession of the arising and falling away of that which appears as it's not other thing else, because it can be only that which can be seen. And when we talk about shape and form, like hair and eyebrow, lips or tooth, it's the panyati can be known by such nimitta as eyebrow, her lips, see, with our nimitta, it cannot be known. No idea. So, Pandyati is the idea of something taken from experiencing nimitta.
When we think of sankhara nimitta, it would not be the nimitta of eyebrow or the nimitta of an eye, like a concept, but of a reality only.
And so what is the eyebrow?
Just a concept, an idea.
No shape, no form? But this shape, this form, it can bring about the idea of something which is called this, or even it's not called tools or face, but the idea of nimitta is there, to be known as what and what. And that is Pandyati.
So there is nimitta of Pandyati too.
Nimitta is the succession of the arising and falling away. So what is left is sign or form of each reality as something permanent, like a human being permanent, a snake permanent. Face is permanent, tooth is permanent.
Yeah, it seems permanent, yes. So you would also call that nimitta?
Without reality, there's no nimitta, but no. The arising and falling away so very rapidly that it cannot be directly experienced. So what is left is only the sign of the arising and falling away until it becomes a shape and form when there is the experiences of it. It's the mark or sign of something which is that particular reality.
That's difficult for me to understand, because I could understand of the five khandhas and of realities.
Yes, but what are the five khandhas?
Rupa.
Rupa arises, falls away.
Yeah.
How many times?
You cannot say, so
okay,
we don't
so
know.
What is left is the nimitta of the arising and falling away of reality.
Of realities,
Without reality, there's no nimitta.
That I understand. But when the concept comes in, or the shape and form, I find it more difficult.
And that which is known is concept, the idea of something. If it's not experienced, how you have the idea of people and things?
Yes.
Or that which can be taken for something is Pandyati, concept or idea. So one can see the virtues of Buddha, his wisdom, his enlightenment, to understand everything. Much more than we can imagine, because what he taught is not all of his wisdom, only that can be known or can be understood, experienced directly.
What I understand, Nina, and I agree that it's difficult areas, is the rapidly arising and falling away of different dharmas, such as visible object, and the nimitta is the sign from the succession of those rupas of, say, visible object that is experienced, and from that sign the thinking takes out or has an idea of shape and form, and that is what leads to the idea of eyebrows and people and places. So without the visible object being experienced many, many times, there couldn't be the nimitta, the sign of visible object, and without that sign there couldn't be the thinking about the details or the shapes, the forms, and the idea of people, the panyati, on account of that nimitta, on account of what the reality that is experienced.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard field to understand. I have to think it over.
The rupas that we take for eye, for example, are different rupas to those we take for mouth. So they're different rupas experienced, yeah. And it's thinking that puts together the idea of a face from those different moments. And that is a that is where concept comes in. Different rupas are experienced, and the thinking creates an image from them.
Yeah.
The nimitta is how the rupas are experienced in the first place.
So again, what is nimitta? To be sure.
I have a chance to be proven wrong. The nimitta is the image of the rupa, the reality, because it arises and falls away so quickly. So it's the after image that is experienced.
In other words, the visible object that appears now.
Yeah.
That I can understand. But when the concept comes in, it's a bit harder. I have to consider it more and think it over. That is harder.
No idea at all about shape and form?
Yes, all the time.
Really. So, and that's its concept.
It's a concept.
Of
right.
That which appear.
Yeah.
And only now nimitta appears.
Only now nimitta appears, nimitta of concept.
Of realities.
Of reality.
Without realities, how can there be nimitta?
Yeah.
How can be eyes, nose, face, legs, arms?
Yeah, you often say that. Without realities, how can there be a concept? And
how can there be nimitta?
Yeah, and how can there be a concept too?
How can, before concept, there must be nimitta?
There was something John just said about the rupas of the eyes are different to the rupas of the nose and the mouth. And when you look and you think you see someone and it's completely together, it gave me an indication of just how quickly jitters arise and fall away.
Beyond imagination.
Especially if there's all these different rupas.
Because even in Vipassanayana, nimitta is experienced. Who can experience such that moment of citta arises and falls away?
Well, somebody who...
So, what doesn't have nimitta?
Nibbana.
So one can understand that. Does not arise at all.
Why?
And I was about to say it doesn't even warrant contemplating. And you ask why? Different accumulations.
Because that's exactly what nimitta is. It's the sign of that which arises and falls away. So it's the image left from the arising and falling away. So nibbana doesn't arise and fall away, so no sign or image left.
We always say there are no people or things in visible object.
Right. Never be.
But it sounds like there
they're being put back into nimitta.
Certainly, certainly. Only nimitta, and you, because of such nimitta, there is the idea or concept from that nimitta as something, okay, like this person or that person. Actually, the four primary rupas are not self, are not anyone at all. Not Kunmev, not Kunsara. It's Mahabhuta Rupa. And all realities are like that. No one, no being, permanent.
Is the ignorance
here now of whatever appears?
Because when we just hear about this process going on, it almost sounds like something that is happening efficiently for a purpose.
At moment of understanding, that is not ignorance, but not understanding nimitta as nimitta, that is ignorance.
Maybe I could ask that question about yesterday at the towards the end of the day. You were talking about the ignorance and seeing without understanding is ignorance, and I think I got confused because I was thinking, well, seeing without understanding would be thinking about seeing, but I think Sarah reminded me today that Diti is not thinking. Diti,
so
is even in the sense door, there's...
What is thinking again?
Thinking is the reality that is now, if there's thinking.
Kusala or akusala?
Can be both.
Things with or without understanding. Mm-hmm. Of what? That which appears.
Even in the sense door, there is diti. Before we think about a cup, we see what we take for a cup, even without thinking.
Otherwise, no need to be arahata or sotapanna, because sotapanna sees, and after there is no diti at all. Even asava, cittasava, completely eradicated.
So like seeing after liking or disliking, did he appear normally, Acha?
Who knows? I cannot tell because it's not me at all. It arises and falls away, known by Panya only.
Any reason why it should be like that?
I'm sorry?
Is there any reason why it should arise after liking and disliking?
I don't know.
When there's some moments of friend of having fun with friends, so there's liking and they can be also diti, thinking that, oh, this is really something good, or some like taking what is dukkha for something sukha.
Is that really taking dukkha for sukha in any meaningful way?
Because the pleasant feeling arises and falls away, but diti takes that to be something lasting and something real. So it takes it to be something.
What does it take? Why would you say diti takes that when you're having fun to be more real than other moments when you're not having fun?
No, because I'm just thinking about an example when diti can arise with
liking or...
Excuse me? Yeah. So at what moment titi does not arise?
Mm-hmm. No, I just feel that sometimes it appears more obviously than other moments.
Does it appear?
Not now, but maybe sometime.
At that moment,
sometimes...
Does it appear?
Well, I think it's something
thinking.
Kind of thinking like that.
Usually it does not appear when there's no wrong understanding.
And who doesn't take dukkha for sukha?
But only the arahata.
No ditti.
No ditti.
I think what you're saying is that when you're lost in lobha, for example, that's more likely to be ditti.
Like sometimes there's maybe just having fun, no special idea about that it's really something good. But sometimes there can be more idea about, oh, this is really, I don't know, it's...
Just stronger lobha?
Well, in my impression is there's something with some idea, more about idea, not about the intensity of the lobha at that moment.
Maybe wanting it to continue, or... But I don't know about taking it for being real in any meaningful sense. Maybe just lost.
Not like in words, just like something... I can't really express it, but it's just like taking it to be something meaningful or something...
What kind of ditti is there? If you think there is ditti right then.
That's the one that I mentioned. That it's taking what it's lobha, what it's dukkha to be lobha, to be sukha.
You know that lobha is dukkha, or lobha is not dukkha, or what?
No, at that moment it's just pleasant feeling.
So pleasant feeling arises and appears.
Yes. And it takes it to be something...
No, not at all. You just enjoy it.
Because I can see that sometimes I just enjoy it. No special additional idea about mm-hmm. it. But at some other times there's some special ideas which is different from the moment as normal enjoying.
What about now?
Now, no, it doesn't. It's not like that.
So you can tell only now, right? And it's not precise at all because it does not appear, but you think it's there, like other reality, right? But you can know it. Only when Panya develop enough, when there's nothing at all, only that reality appear, and there is the idea of my something, whether it's leg or whatever, even it's just hardness, but the idea of something there as me, no matter it's arms or legs, still there. So you can see ditti is there. But when it's not that moment, can you tell whether the titi is there or not? For example, reaching out, is there any idea of my hardness or my hand? See? So there are 8 types of lobha, 4 with titi and 4 without titi. Or we can say lobha with titi and lobha without titi. Is this moment lobha is known? Is there lobha? Is it known? Is thinking known? See, everything. It's always unknown because it's not that level of bright understanding enough to know it.
And can one say at
such a time, just like now, that if it's ditti, it must be the taking of a reality in one way or another for Atta, for me, or for something, rather than just a kind of a general idea about the being wrong view. Is that right, Jan, that it must be the taking of reality in some way?
With lopa, or with mana, or with ditti.
For being something.
It can be only with mana, or lopa, not ditti, or with ditti. So there is nimitta from the arising and falling away of this world often as many, many different because of many, many mahaputrupas with that which can be seen. Nimitta in around.